This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you very much, Randy Prangy, and good morning as we come to you from Irish Days in Farmersville. That means in Montgomery County, summer is underway, and it feels like it because it's going to be just a mere 95 degrees today here at Irish Days and all across mid-Illinois.
And of course, that means let's make some chili.
Let's make some. Why, of course.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you make chili on a day like today, right? We're in the Chili Dome, the Jim Whalen Chili Dome. And we've been doing this for I don't know how many years. There's Jim coming in, walking in down there on the other end. But, of course, this not only is the only Chili Dome in the world and the only Chili Dome that broadcasts originate from, it also doubles as a beer tent at night, which is pretty multifunctional. You know?
Pretty impressive.
I'm just telling you right now, not everybody can pull this off.
The advancements in technology, I tell you, amazing.
It's amazing, and it's a good. The guys like Ray Durston and Dave Leonard and Jim Whalen and all these kind of guys, these are the guys that pull it off. And this, by the way, is the final day of Irish Days 2016. All sorts of various activities. They have antique truck and tractor show, a tractor pull, of course, the big parade this afternoon at 4 o'clock, which is about the time it usually decides to rain here at Irish Days, it seems like, or right before the Queen's coronation, one of those two times, and of course the Queen's coronation tonight, Citizens of the Year Award. So a full day of activities here at Irish Days in Farmersville, which is really easy to find. It's just on the Farmersville Square. So we invite you to come on by, have a good time, and we always have a good time here. And there's Matt Milberg, the Lincolnwood High School basketball coach. Matt, it's always good to see you, my friend.
I always appreciate you guys asking me to come to the Chili Dome. This would be year five. Year five, that means I'm
I mean,
yeah, keep going. I do
something right.
Yeah. I like to say that I like to be at Irish Days every year talking to you guys at a Saturday morning.
Hey, we love to talk basketball. But before we get to basketball, let's remind everybody about the fundraiser coming up for Lincolnwood Athletics. That's coming up on Saturday, August the 27th. And a great turnout again last year. And the money raised goes to the athletic programs plus other endeavors at Lincolnwood High School. And it's going to be again at Shoal Creek Golf Course.
So. Yeah, we're really excited this year. We got raffle tickets we're selling all throughout Irish Days. I got some basketball boys up here going to try to get some money from you guys. We got first prize a Yeti cooler, and then an Apple Watch for second prize, and third prize is a half a hog, and then the extra is the quarter beef. So Pope Seeds, Country Companies, Chuck Brown, Alan Polk and Pohl, and the Kirkpatricks and the Rossies have donated to that trifecta. So we're excited for our next golf tournament on Saturday, August 27th.
Somebody's going to have supper for us.
Yeah, those are some excellent prizes right there.
Those are darn good prizes. And you're always sold out, aren't you, Matt?
Yeah, I'm usually in charge of the teams, and I got about an eight team waiting list right now, eight teams trying to wait to get in. So we're going to start getting those teams, going to contact those guys soon and make sure they're still in, and then we'll go from there.
And it's great to see the community come out, pull together for something like this.
It's unbelievable. Montgomery County as a whole, the things that that people do. As I get older, I know it's not that old, but as I get older, I realize that all the things that businesses in the communities do for, schools or for fundraisers, for anything, that just amazes me.
And from the Lincolnwood basketball fan perspective, you guys have an extremely loyal following.
Yeah, we travel real well road games. You got those guys that have been around there forever, the Dot Pinkstons that come to every game, and the Helds, and all them guys that come to all those games. And, you know, when we went to Waverly, that was a decision that
they loved having you there.
Yeah, that was one of the decisions that we sat down and talked and discussed with before we made a decision. And they had been there before, those fans, and they enjoyed it. And we had a standing ovation from some of the people that ran Waverly, thanking all the people that came to that tournament. And, as the history goes with that Waverly tournament, it was a great experience for us that year.
Well, what have the Lancers got going this summer? Of course, you're involved in the summer league camps and just basically playing basketball, trying to find some sort of combination that you can work with this fall.
that's exactly what we're doing, trying to find a combination for this winter. We've been to Vandalia Shootout, and we've been to Litchfield on Mondays. And we went to Thursday night, we went to Pleasant Plains. Their new head coach, Kyle Weber, from Riverton, took that job.
From T-Town, buddy.
Yeah, from T-Town.
He's a T-Town dude. That's what he is.
and we went up there and played them, which they're going to have a fantastic team again next year. And then we're going to go to Illinois College at the end of the month to finish out. That's what I like to finish out in the, you know, end of June. So the boys get to be boys, you know, in July and have a little family time. So we just go for about a month.
What are you looking for out of your kids during these summer games, more so than just winning and losing?
Yeah, that's a little bit of the trouble with summer. You know, we don't accept losing, you know, real well. But it's one of those things that we're trying to, you know, what can we do in this situation? It might be really, you know, opening spots for seniors. You know, when seniors leave, you have jobs to fill, and not every job is guaranteed. I heard something recently in quotes that said, you know, basketball is not an equal opportunity employer.
That's
you know, if you want to get more shots, you need to work on your shot in the summertime, you know, in the off season. You know, if you think you should, you know, be in the crunch time whenever you're defending, then you need to work on your defense in the summertime. You know, all those things that you have to try to do to buy those spots, you know. You might be a post player that wants to be a guard. Well, you need to work on your ball handling skills. You need to, you know, make sure you're in shape, that you can run the wing and get down the floor. And, you know, all those things that you try to look for and fill in the summertime are things that we look for.
There's a saying as old as the game itself that basketball players are made in the summertime. And it is so true.
Well, basketball is really the only, I would say, one of the only sports that you can go out and get better on your own. You can go to the park and you can do ball handling drills. You can do ball handling drills in your garage around cones. You can, you know, shoot at your hoop. You know, a lot, if you drive around Farmersville, Raymond, Morrisonville, Harville, Wagner, you're going to see basketball hoops out in the yards and you know, shooting. You can work on your game alone, and that's the biggest thing with basketball, I believe.
There's an old saying in baseball about the double play being the pitcher's best friend, and in basketball, we were talking a little bit off the air, a great point guard is a basketball coach's best friend, and you had that in Brian Graham for the last 3 years. But I asked you before, personally for you as a coach, when you see a kid like Graham who put so much in, put the work in like you're talking about year after year, day after day, when a kid like that gets hurt his senior year and then is never really able to get back physically to where he had been, how much does that just kind of affect you as a coach? Because there is, you know, you don't get that extra year. There's no redshirt year in high school.
That's a good point. You know, the biggest thing I thought, you know, Brian was a great athlete to go through Lincolnwood. Obviously, you saw the awards that he received at the end of the year for the Chad Langheim Award for the MSM Best Player in the Conference. You know, I think the hardest thing was my first experience as a head coach to have an injury. I had went through my first 3 years injury free. You know, your top five guys, you know, they might get an ankle or a, you know, a head hit or something for a game or two. You know, you go through a practice and you like to see those other guys step up to fill that, and that makes you better. But whenever you have your point guard for 3 years go down in a you know, friendly fire, I guess you'd say, at the Waverly tournament, it was hard for us to really rebound from that. You know, whenever you play in your whole year around the safety net, that was a learning experience for me. I hope it, you know, it teaches me a lot about how to handle and manage teams to get those guys to believe and pursue, even though they know that their rock is sitting on the bench.
But even though Brian was restricted to the bench, he was kind of one of the coaches out there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he actually, that I think that helped him grow. I don't know if he was here today, he would agree to that. But I think that helped him grow as an individual to help learn patience and teach those kids, hey, don't do this in this situation. You know, before I even got out, you know, during a timeout, he might have somebody over with his arm around him talking about what they were doing. And that was a big thing for me, you know, having him also, you know, during that time, help him relieve that. You know, and he tried coming back multiple times. We, you know, made some decisions as a coaching staff and talking to his parents, and there, you know, he wanted to go out there and bring the ball up, you know, when he was hurt, just to bring the ball up, you know, for us. But, you know, like I said, you know, off the air too, you know, it's like you losing Yadier Molina behind the plate. Yep. That safety net I've had for 3 years is graduated, and everybody goes through it. And, you know, it's a learning thing, and we're going to have to fill that and get that ball up to four this year.
Matt, talk about the guys that are on the bench with you. And I know they are such tremendous help, and they really fit into this Lincolnwood program very well.
Yeah, Coach Johnson up there in Nokomis, him and I coached at Pawnee together, and as soon as I got the job, you know, I asked him if he'd be interested coming to be a Lancer, and he'd got at it for a couple years, and it didn't take him long. He answered me that night and said, I'd love to, and he's been a great help. You know, he's got great background in basketball knowledge, and without him, you know, we wouldn't be where we're at. Coach Milberg, you know, volunteers his time, doesn't get paid. Landon Hayes helped me this year. He just wanted to come out and be with the boys and learn the game and be with us. So anytime you get volunteers that want to help, you know, we appreciate it. And we enjoy hanging out and learning together. That's the biggest thing. So,
Matt, just from a pure basketball perspective, thoughts on Abby Brockmeyer?
Abby Brockmeyer. Well, I'll tell you that recently we had our little kids basketball camp, and I had probably 15 girls this year come to my basketball camp. And I had asked Abby and Taylor Pope, who are going to be seniors next year at Lincolnwood, I had asked them if they would be interested coming and working with us, mm-hmm. you know, because they're one of us.
Sure.
They enjoy the game, and they're in, you know, in our area and love the game. So I asked them to come help. Turns out they end up winning a regional. So that was good for them, but they weren't able to come because of the sectional tournament. But, you know, just the – you know, the boys' stories that they talk about Abby, you know, that they played with, you know, yeah. They got, you know, them boys get to played with her all those years, and to go and watch her play and get better every year is just tremendous.
And there was a lot of focus on Abby Brockmeyer, but let me just plug Taylor Pope, because Taylor worked her butt off this last year and got a lot more playing time, and I think she's going to see a lot of playing time, if not a starting role for Litchfield this coming year.
Yeah, it's hard for us to get away and catch as, you know, many games for us, because usually, you know, we're, you know, on the road too, and it's tough. But those times that we can get over there, and I, you know, let the boys out of practice early to get over there to catch a game, they love to go and support those girls. But, you know, that's one of the good things with the co-op. You know, they're able to play.
With Sports Saturday, we're coming to you from the Chili Dome at Irish Days in Farmersville, a full day worth of activities. And if you haven't ever seen an Irish Days parade, it's set for 4:00 this afternoon, the coronation of the Queen later on this evening, and they do something really terrific here. They always have a Citizen of the Year award, which I think is just absolutely wonderful. It's all part of Irish Days. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more from the Chili Dome at Irish Days in Farmersville right after these messages. Yes, and as we hit the airwaves, we see more and more people rolling into the Chili Dome here for the Chili Cook-Off competition, which officially the rule starts. They start sharing the rules with everybody here beginning about 10 o'clock at the conclusion of our show. And then, of course, later on, they'll have convert the Chili Dome into a beer tent with music and all sorts of festive type stuff going on.
How many rules can there be?
I don't know. Well, you know, chili. I don't know. I'm not a chili cook. We probably ought to get Jim Whalen up here and let him explain this. And you know what Jim will say? Oh, heck, I don't want to talk about this. You guys talk to me every year. Is that Jim? Is that Jim Whalen?
That's a good impersonation
guys,
there.
Yeah, come on. So Matt, let's take a look at the MSM conference here coming up next year.
Sure.
What are the Lancers looking at as far as competition is concerned in basketball?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is some coaching changes. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have a list in front of my head, but I know the Lutheran's going to have a new coach, and Eric Burkett is going to the Lutheran, and you know, Riverton's got a new coach, and Pleasant Plains got a new coach, and you know, Matt Hall is going to have a new coach, and Pawnee had a new coach. So you know, there's going to be a little shift in some of our conference games as far as, you know, me scouting and knowing what's going on. But, you know, I think, you know, again, I think we can make another run at 20 wins again next year. You know, I hope to roll that over every year, you know, and not have what you would call a rebuilding year. We just reload. And we might do different things. We might, you know, go inside a little bit more and you know, play that way. But that's experience as a coach that I think is knowledgeable for me, is to handle how to handle different players and do the best that they can do in their aspects of their game.
I always talk about how tough it is to win 20 games or to win a regional tournament, but it's really tougher to repeat.
Yeah, and we were able to get another 21 season last year. And, you know, I know some people in the area, you know, might compare a regional championship to 20 wins, but, you know, nothing beats a regional championship, and that's what we're striving for. We haven't had one since 2009, or 2007, I think it is, 2007, and we're, you know, eager to get to that point. We made the regional championship, you know, two out of 4 years, you know, I've been here, and we just haven't got over that hump yet. It just takes another gear, and we're trying to find that gear.
And what people don't realize, may not remember, is that the reason the whole multi-class system going all the way back to the original two-class system in the early 70s, the reason that came about is because they wanted to give more schools opportunities to win regional tournaments, because it's not an easy thing to do.
That's correct. You know, and people argue too with me that I think it's almost more difficult to win a regional now that it's four classes. I think there's times that we can compete with some 2A schools in the area. I feel like we can, and went that route. But I was in a golf outing last weekend, Travis Accord's golf outing in Staunton, and I was actually paired up with his college coach in Arkansas. And I was able to talk to him about basketball, and his other guy he was golfing with was the head coach at Arkansas High School. They have seven classes.
Wow.
So he was a coach of a 5A school there in Arkansas, and I just couldn't imagine having that many classes. But, you know, we're pretty happy where we're at. We compete at the 2A level. In all games that we play, we don't have anybody we feel like is going to, you know, beat us, you know, with enrollments, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, what's your early impressions and thoughts on the Lincolnwood-Morrisonville partnership?
Well, the biggest thing is winning. You know, we had a 21 season with them. You know, without them guys, there's no way that we get that done. They come into practice, and they work hard and help us in numbers. We're able to compete in games. You know, all them guys improved drastically, I would say, throughout the year. You know, we're eager to have them back. We got to, you know, this is probably the first year that we're going to have so many freshmen, because the co-op has went on in the junior high, and I think those kids feel more comfortable coming up to the varsity, to the JV level, with the kids that they've played. And we're excited for that, you know, new experience, and we're ready to push for another year.
Who's at the JV level or at the junior high level there, Matt, coaching and
Coach Bonnell's doing that.
Daniel
Bonnell, and he's learned a lot from Joe Webb, you know, whenever they were working together. And he's asking questions, and, you know, the biggest thing I believe in junior high is, you know, having the you know, on the offensive end, having the ability to use both hands. You know, that's why I want to try to push is, you know, make sure they can use their left hand on the left-hand side. Make sure they can use their right hand on the right-hand side. Make sure, and then defensively, you know, whether you play zone or play man, you know, have a good closeout. Because
well,
all those principles are going to work no matter what.
If you don't play defense for Lincolnwood, you're not in the game. Not with, I can guarantee, that's what I always tell people about Matt Milberg. I said, if you don't play defense, you're not playing.
Yeah, you know, we try to strive for that, and, you know, some people probably get frustrated at that, but that's the way we like to do things, and feel like that's going to give us the best option to win games, I think, at the 1A level, is to defend. And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing, you know, at the junior high level, is to get those kids to know that. And, you know, we've been playing some open gyms, and some of them freshman kids are opening their eyes a little bit, I think, as far as what I want.
Well, and Terry, we've done, what is it, 9 junior high state championship games in our own in various sports. And obviously you want to win. If you're going to go out and play a game, you want to win. Winning's better than losing, of course. But, Matt, to your point, at the junior high level, the most important thing is skill development. It doesn't really matter how many games you win, how many state championships you win in the IESA. If your skills aren't getting developed for the varsity level, then you're really not getting prepared, no matter how many games you've won.
That's exactly right. You know, we, as many freshmen as we have this year, those kids are learning, and they're you know, I let them have a voice after each game we play in the summertime. Senior, junior, sophomore, freshman. And some of them freshmen have, you know, hey, coach, It's like 5 seconds faster here. You know, it's another step. I said, yeah, it's, you know, they're skipping JV because they're not playing JV right now. They're getting into varsity games. And, you know, it's that much faster. It's that much quicker. And physicality, you know, they go up for shots now and they're getting bumped and they're not finishing. Well, you know, you're going to have to finish it. That's the way, you know, basketball's evolved around now. That if you get contact, you're going to have to finish with contact. And one day I walked in the gym and one of my boys had the pads out already hitting the freshmen working on their post game. And, you know, and I'm proud of that. That I didn't tell the boys to do that. They went out on their own. They know the drills. They went in there and trying to help them freshmen get better. And that's all you can have as a coach is be happy for that.
Do you have a lot of kids that do that, Matt, that just – on their own?
Well, you know, I had a meeting or something, you know, I was, you know, in my office or whatever, and you know, they had the open gym. They could go in there and get some shooting in or whatever, but they were in and pads and hitting. And I went to, you know, my office and the pads were gone. I'm like, oh no, get out there. And they got pads, you know, hitting each other in a post, you know, and just trying to get better. And they know what it takes now. I think that after, you know, 5 years, you develop that tradition, you develop that core, you know, and you know, a school gives you a chance to develop a program that all that stuff becomes second nature to them, you know. Habits, you know, they become habits, you know, instead of being, you know, something that they just constantly think about.
And hey, at least they were using the pads to help the freshmen and not just taping them to a pole.
That's true.
that's right.
And I must admit, Matt, I love watching you coach, man. You're one of the more animated coaches, and you know, the passion that you bring to the ball game. And so many people misunderstand, you know, the difference between a passionate coach and a coach that just stands there and yells.
Right.
There's a huge difference, and you bring that passion to the ball game.
Yeah, I feel like I do that. You know, I think as I get older, goes down a little bit. I think, you know, I think that the biggest thing is whenever I have our parent meeting at the beginning of the year, I give them a sheet that Jay Billis has wrote, and it explains words that I might say or my assistant might say that could be construed from a different point, mm-hmm. that helps them understand games. You know, I might say, hey, let's get to the helpline. Well, if you don't know what a helpline is and your son's not there, I'm going to be upset because that's his job, is to get to the helpline. But if you don't know what the helpline is, then it's going to look like I'm yelling at him,
right.
You know. So, you know, whenever we coach, you know, it's not so much it's more of where a kid's supposed to be at a certain time, you know, and that's so critical in high school basketball, is making sure you're in the right place at the right time. And, you know, that's traditionally what we kind of do. I think that the officials, you know, I are my best friends. You know, I get along with a lot of those guys. We hang out outside of basketball and we develop that relationship with them. And you know, I feel like, you know, most of them enjoy, you know, doing our ball games. They, every time I talk to them, they appreciate the way we play, way we pick up each other, you know, off the floor, way we pick them up at the free throw line, and way, you know, way we do things right. And that's just trying to build that tradition.
And when you have good ball team, officials like that because they don't have to worry about making as many calls.
That's right. That's right.
It kind of goes hand in hand. So we want to remind everybody again, the team golf outing for Lincolnwood High School coming up on August the 27th. You need some volunteer help still, probably, Matt?
Yeah, we do a lot of stuff that people volunteer for. They might volunteer to bring out water or the carts that have snacks on them. Setting up chairs, putting up tents and stuff like that. Cookers, you know, the people that cook all the time. You know, we accept everybody, and we just want to make it a great day.
It's going to be at the Creek.
That's right.
Sure.
We have good weather. You know, hopefully it's not too hot. But if it is, we'll get through it.
That's right. Matt Milberger, the coach of the Lincolnwood High School Lancer basketball team. Matt, always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. It's always great to see you. And we wish you success, and I'm already ready for basketball season, buddy.
I know you are, as are we. You know, we got this summer that we're trying to, you know, get better and prepare for next winter, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
Hey, we need to take a break. Sports Saturday from Irish Days underneath the Chili Dome continues right after these messages. And thank you very much, Randy Prangy, as our broadcast from Irish Days continues. The Chili Dome is filling up with chili cook-off contestants, and it won't be long here. It's about 9:33 right now, so another 10 minutes, we're going to start smelling some of those delicious ingredients, and that'll drive us crazy, even crazier than what we are.
Oh, if that's possible.
If that's possible.
About 25 cookers is what they were expecting to have by the time it was all said and done. I guess the record is 50, set back on the 100th. And there's him for, that's too many.
Yeah,
that's too much.
Well, remember we were here and how they had people outside the chili dome.
Yeah, they had
here.
Auxiliary tents.
It was 50 was a bit much, probably.
The poor judges.
Oh, gosh.
They're probably just now getting recovered.
Oh, yeah. Irish Days Parade coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon. They'll have the introduction of the Queen candidates beginning about 6:30 this evening. And, of course, after that, the Citizen of the Year. And Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters will be performing tonight.
There you go.
Say that fast 10 times and not make a mistake.
I'm going to need a few drinks first.
Yeah.
I struggled to say it once on my newscast.
Yeah. Well, and we're at Irish Days, so if you've never been to Irish Days, first and foremost, come on to Farmersville. It's a great celebration. 106 years.
Is that all mere 106 years?
Just a mere 106.
Almost the unofficial to beginning of summer?
Well, to me, being a Montgomery County kid and a Panhandle kid, this was always the beginning of summer. This, summer officially started when Irish Days started. So this is kind of a day for me. So.
And, when you start saying stuff like that, makes me think of the Cubbies. 108 years without a championship, and Irish Days has been going on for 106. Oh, my.
So maybe the Irish Days is to blame for that.
The Irish Days curse of the Cubbies.
No. And a couple of things about Irish Days before we get off to the cards and Cubs and stuff like that. A lot of the money that's raised here, number one, with the fun run and walk they had this morning for the breast cancer awareness, that money goes to the Montgomery County Breast Cancer Awareness Group. They had a great turnout again this morning. The KC's raised money for the special ed classes here in Panhandle. So, there's a lot of wonderful endeavors with great people working to pour this money back into the community.
And as it becomes abundantly clear that the state is going to provide assistance for absolutely nothing for the foreseeable future, private donations, so to speak, at events like this become even more important than they've always been.
Yeah, it's very, very important. We want to thank Matt Milberg for stopping by. Matt, you want to come up here and talk, Jim? Nah. You going to come up? Come on up now, buddy. Come on up now. Jim Whalen. The man that we named the Chili Dome after.
That's right.
The Jim Whalen Chili Dome.
With good reason.
Yeah, absolutely. This man knows more about chili then you can shake a big stick at. There you go, Jim. Have a seat there, my friend. Let's get you a headset there, buddy.
All right.
We can make it. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, perfect.
There you go. We can hear you too.
Tell you. Are we on the air?
We're on the air live. So I'm just telling you, don't use any of your special chili knowledge words, okay?
Okay.
That might get us beeped.
Get us beeped.
Yeah. So here we are, another chili cook-off contest. I don't know how many years now.
I think this is 30.
30 years?
Yeah.
Is this the 30th anniversary?
30, according to the plaques right there.
Yeah, I think it's 30 years.
There you go. And you're competing again this year?
Yes, I am. Okay. Just barely competing. I'm just taking up space.
But there were you and a couple other guys, kind of formed the whole premise of this chili cook-off thing. How did the idea get started?
Well, I'll tell you how it got started. You remember, it's been 30 years ago when Wagner had their centennial down there, and Dave Heaton come up with the idea of having a chili cook-off down there, and he asked me if I'd help him, and so we'd done that, and it looked pretty good. And he said, you think the KC's, we could do that up there at the Irish Days? And I said, well, we can ask them. And they said, oh, yeah, you guys want to try it? Go ahead. So we did it for 25 years.
and you and Dave have been around the thing ever since.
Yeah. So. No, we made a lot of money there for the special ed. Mm-hmm. Boy, that.
We were just talking about that, Jim, and with the state being in the shape that it's in and how important it is. And we want to have fun here at the Irish Day celebration. We want to see our friends and neighbors and, people maybe we don't see for a year at a time.
Yeah.
But the money that gets raised, extremely important to the community.
Yes. The special ed teachers down there, when we'd take that money down to them every year, I mean, that was really something because, like you say, the funding coming in gets a little scarce, and those extra dollars, they was buying supplies for the kids, and it was really, really...
And they appreciate it.
Yes, they did.
They really appreciate it.
Them girls were very appreciative, and they worked hard. So
if you can tell us one thing about cooking chili that is a key part of being successful in a chili cook-off. You don't have to give away any trade secrets, but give us one thing that you would suggest for a novice chili cook-off participant.
Secret to success.
The secret to success.
You know,
and who knows? This may lead to a line of books or something, man.
It's a combination of spices, and that's what you know. And you never know with the judges.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a different budget judges every year, and you'll think one year you'll win it, and the next year is I got it down pat. Next year you don't get a vote.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So
kind of like strike zones with umpires.
That's
right. This one may be a strike today, but it won't be a strike
it
tomorrow.
It may not be a strike tomorrow.
That's
so,
right. That's
no,
right.
It's it's just put together. I always told them I won it up at the state fair there a few years ago, and they Channel 20 wanted to interview me, and they said, "What's your secret?" I says, "You know, the recipe I put together was on a Sunday afternoon. My wife and I were sitting there watching football games, and the kids we fix up a pot of chili, and I just made it wherever they liked it. That's what I that was the recipe, and what my kids liked."
And they thought you were pulling their leg, but you weren't. That's exactly how it happened.
That's exactly how it happened.
Do you alter your recipe on a yearly basis to try and make it any better, or just stick with the same thing?
A little bit. You'll play around with it, but that's basically it. It's just basic spices, you know, the hamburger and the beans and chili powder and jalapenos and onions and a few things like that.
Like so much in life, it's subjective to the judges.
Right.
It really is.
The judges will rule the day, and they like it a little different than and that. And you never know. You just come in here and have fun. You just do it.
And this Irish Day celebration, such a big part of summertime, especially for Farmersville and the Montgomery County area.
This is, we always seem to have a crowd. I think the date here is very
perfect.
Good. You know, everybody has just got through with all the school and the college and the graduations and everything, you know, and everybody's ready to kind of kick back with a few friends and
cold frosties
and visit and just have a good time
and play volleyball, like, you know, the safety of the free world is at stake. You know, if you're not serious about playing volleyball, you don't want to be in this tournament.
No. Yesterday they had the Hillbilly Golf. They had 40 teams. Yesterday.
Did they really?
40 teams for the Hillbilly Golf.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Jim, always a pleasure, my friend. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being part of the Sports Saturday Show. We appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
Right.
You guys do a heck of a good job.
We need to get to a break. We'll come back with more Sports Saturday from Irish Days in Farmersville right after these messages. Thank you very much, Randy Prangy. Just congratulations to Dave Jenkins, our new newsman.
Absolutely. Doing a fabulous job.
Fabulous job, Dave. Fabulous job,
thank
buddy.
You.
And
I'm enjoying it.
And even though you're still a newsman, you can still be on Sports Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I still know stuff about sports.
That's right.
My brain's not too full.
You just don't have to break any news on the show.
Yeah.
Unless it comes.
Unless it comes.
That's right. Cardinals had a wild and woolly one last night. I gave up in about the 11th inning, fellas. And boy, did I give up an inning too soon.
You know, the Cardinals, they always fight and scratch. They're always in a ball game, it seems, down the stretch. And unfortunately, last night, I guess Rosenthal walked a couple of batters in the ninth inning and ended up giving up the one-run lead, and they had to go to extra innings to get it. But how about Adam Wainwright?
Yeah. How about that? Day after he pitches a gym and goes ahead and drives in a couple runs to win the game.
Well, and basically the hand was forced by, you know, the fact that the bench was depleted, and Mike Matheny says, okay, well, I think Wainwright's probably my best shot. I don't know what, you know, stick him up there and see
what
happens.
Got 10 RBIs in the year now.
Yeah.
So that says he got four doubles, a home run, and a triple.
Oh, yeah.
If he was doing that last year, he would have been hitting cleanup for the Cardinals.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, before he went down with the
Kings. Right.
Yeah.
And then, of course, after he got the big go-ahead two-run double, pinch run with Carlos Martinez.
Yes, 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 Carlos Martinez.
Scored a run.
He did. All hands on deck in that situation.
Oh, man. That's, and, you know, and that's almost like a September type thing. Although we, in September, you probably have 40-man rosters and you don't have to worry much about it. But certainly late August, a lot of times, you know, the dog days of summer, you get down to the where you've got everybody used on a bench. You get a couple of games that go extra innings in a span of 2 or 3 days. And, man, it is all hands on deck.
It is. And we've seen several times this year where after a good win like the Cardinals had last night, the question is, well, is that the turning point of the season, the thing that's going to get them going? We have found out with their inconsistent starting pitching, the old adage of momentum in baseball is only as good as your next day's starting pitcher. That is certainly true with the Cardinals this year. But with that said, a loss, I don't know how big the win will be, but if they would have lost that game last night,
would have been crushing.
Oh, yeah. Start 0-4 in Pittsburgh, blow a lead like that. It would have been a bad loss. I don't know how good of a win it'll wind up being, but there's no question it would have been a very bad loss.
And it's a tough test today in Francisco Liriano on the hill for the Pirates.
Someone who's owned him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that guy. They can't touch him.
He's like the left-handed Bud Norris.
Yeah, that you're right. You're right. And isn't it funny how some pitchers just are able to do that, to hide the ball well enough, or the Cardinals, it's in their head or whatever. I don't know.
And Liriano doesn't fit into this category, but the soft-tossing lefty has tied the Cardinals up in knots for decades.
I consider him a soft-tossing lefty.
Yeah.
Liriano.
Soft-tossing?
Cutter. That's his primary pitch.
And that's his out pitch.
That seems to be what does it.
I don't know how soft it is, but it certainly is out pitch, his breaking pitch. So. Yeah.
He's not really a hard thrower.
By today's standards, I guess. He's not throwing 95 or 96.
By today's standards.
He only throws 92, 93. Soft tosser.
A junk ball, I guess you could say.
A team could see somebody throw 96, 97, 98 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden, out of their starting rotation comes a junker, a guy throwing all this breaking stuff, and, oh, man, a team just cannot adjust after seeing 3 or 4 games with fireballers. So.
Something to be said for that.
Yeah. For the Pirates, they hope that there's not more serious issues on the rise for Gerrit Cole. He had to leave last night's game early. Only, I think, a couple innings into the game with, I think it was a biceps injury is what they said. So we'll see what that ends up becoming.
Well, now we're deep enough into the season. This is when these injuries start happening. And, the Cubs continue to roll along at an unbelievable pace, although Atlanta got them last night.
Go figure.
Yeah. But, you know, that's Major League Baseball. That's it on any given day. But if the Cubs continue to stay healthy –
they just look so
powerful.
They're
just a handful, aren't they?
They are just a handful. Every facet of them is just they look under control. And we'll see. We'll see how baseball season is a long, long stretch. But right now, very, very good.
Don't you think though? And this is not to be derogatory against the Cubs. The Cubs are the hot story in baseball, obviously. But look what the Dodgers and the Giants are doing, and with the Kershaws. And the Bumgarners out there. I mean, my goodness, what a couple of great teams they are.
Well, who would think that Clayton Kershaw, all of a sudden, after years of being hyped up, rightfully so, as, the greatest thing since sliced bread, he's now almost under the radar because Jake Arrieta now has kind of ascended to that top tier, top dog in terms of pitching in the game. So you almost kind of forget about Clayton Kershaw. He's out there in California. Yeah. But you look, Google Clayton Kershaw's numbers right now.
Oh. Yeah.
They're ridiculous.
Maybe hard to believe, but he's having the best season of his career right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
that is hard to believe.
Yeah, because he's had some fantastic seasons
already. He's had historically great seasons already.
Well, going into last night's game, he only had 6 walks.
Right. And he's striking out everybody pretty much.
6 walks up, and you're in June?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
But fortunately for him, he just has nobody around him.
Yeah.
If I'm the Cubs, I'm worried about really 3 teams. The Giants.
Yeah.
The Nationals and the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really the only 3 in terms of a postseason series, 5 games or 7 games, whatever it would be. Yeah. Those 3 teams, they've got the frontline starting pitching that can put up zeros on an offense.
And I don't care how good of a hitting team you are, when it comes to power pitching and postseason baseball, pitching always outdoes hitting.
Look what the Mets did to the Cubs in the ALCS last year. The Cubs' offense was fine against the Cardinals' worn down pitching staff, but they got the Mets and got swept out.
Matt Harvey's finally starting to turn it around for the Mets. Steven Strasburg is turning it around for the Nationals.
Strasburg has been nasty this year.
He's looked great. He's finally to 10 wins and has struck out, I think, 10 guys in almost every start he's had this year.
Well, he got paid, so now he can let it loose. Doesn't have to worry about his arm going again.
As long as they don't shut him down in August, oh. Right?
Nationals.
That's still one of the dumbest modern-day baseball moves of all time.
That's going to be something that's going to be discussed for years to come.
If the Yankees do it, okay, you've won 27 of them. You went, okay, you're going to be there again. You're the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
What makes you think that you're just going to poof?
You usually be in that position. You guys usually don't have a winning team,
right.
Let alone a chance to win in the postseason. But whatever, crazy things happen.
Not to mention, there's no guarantee Bryce Harper will be in Washington for the long term either. So that they have a window.
Is he a possible the first $500 million player?
Sounds
in
like it.
Sure, sounds like it.
If not that, $400 million, because that still hasn't been reached yet.
Right.
But
he's got Boris as his agent, so he can probably tack on the extra $100 million to get to $500 million.
Yeah.
He does.
What's the world come to where we're using terms like $500 million?
Oh my God. You know, the whole league wasn't worth that 30 years ago, but it is now.
Bryce Harper is fun to watch.
There are certain guys that are like that are fun to watch. You know, Mike Trout.
Yep.
He's a lot of fun to watch.
But Harper, he's got that flair, that showmanship to him. You know, in the week where they lost
the hair.
Yeah. he's kind of got a little of that Ali flair for the dramatic in him, you know?
Yes.
I like that. An athlete.
I think it's good. I think it's good for Major League Baseball, and in particular in Washington D.C., where baseball had been, non-existent for many years. They've got something to hang their hats on.
But it sure seems like everyone in the nation's capital is just kind of bracing and preparing themselves to see Bryce Harper in pinstripes.
Yeah.
We'll see.
You know, the Yankees are just kind of. We all know what the Yankees do and what they are.
Sure.
They haven't really been doing that for the last few years. But if Bryce Harper is a free agent.
They're still a Steinbrenner in charge.
They're still the Yankees.
Well,
still a Steinbrenner.
And remember, the Yankees offense is aging right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
They
do need to replace their guys. And how about the year Carlos Beltran for him is having 16 home runs already?
Yeah. That's crazy. The world of sports lost two great icons this week, Muhammad Ali, of course, and Gordie Howe just the night before last, and two guys who impacted their sports as much probably as anybody. And of course, Muhammad Ali not only impacted sports, but impacted the political and social economic landscape in the United States. And we're probably never going to see another Muhammad Ali.
No, it's not. It's one of those things. It's not possible. There might be someone who, boxing-wise, is just as good. But like you said, the social and all the various other societal impacts that he had, it can't be matched.
Yeah.
It's impossible for it to be matched. He was the first person that really told the government, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not happening. I'm not going.
And I can remember the story where, he was boxing and his opponent kept calling him Cassius Clay, and he'd bop him and says, the name is Ali.
What's my name?
What's my name? What's my name? What's my name? You know, and he stood up for what he believed in. And was, it cost him his prime.
Yeah.
It cost him dearly in his prime, probably millions and millions and millions worth of dollars of professional earnings to make the stand. So,
but when you look at it as a whole, though, that really, it just fits perfectly into his life story.
Yes.
That so many times now, we're seeing it in the modern political time, people don't actually stand up for what they believe in.
Right.
Oh, R behind the name, I'm going. D behind the name, I'm going. They don't stand up for personal beliefs, personal convictions. He did.
Yes, he did.
And it cost him, like you said, the prime of his career. But he didn't care because he was standing for what he believed in.
Right. And, of course, Gordie Howe, who basically was,
whose
nickname was Mr. Hockey for many, many reasons because he played so long and was so good. And I can remember, you guys aren't old enough to remember, but I remember when the World Hockey Association, the WHA, came along, and Gordie was able to play with his sons. What a big to-do that was when, you had two generation of Howes out on the ice. It was amazing.
He played when he was 50, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
51,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
That's
wild. I mean, this is crazy.
Wild.
Until Wayne Gretzky came along and just basically blew away the offensive records. Gordie Howe was number one in everything, and of course that's why they call Wayne Gretzky the great one, because he was able to do that. But
Gretzky came out, of course, and said he considered Gordie Howe the greatest hockey player of all time.
So we lose a couple of sports icons here in the past week.
How about the year 2016, though? I mean, just with all the people we've lost in general. Yeah. A lot of iconic people, but with Bowie early on, David Bowie early on.
In the world of entertainment, you're right. One quick note concerning the Fighting Illini, Tracy Abrams, the man who we haven't seen do much for the Illini, will get a sixth year of eligibility as ruled by the NCAA.
He's going to celebrate his 30th birthday with the Illini if he's not careful.
Well, he's already got a bachelor and a master's degree from the Illini.
What else can he get? A doctorate, I guess.
But, you know, with the turmoil that's been going on with the Illini basketball program, he might be a calming factor.
Well, I mean, they missed him last year. There's no doubt about that. I mean, Matt Milberg was talking how important point guard play is. Yeah. Illinois did not have that last year. Abrams had been that when healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
And but how much can you really expect from a guy? What, he's had a knee and an Achilles.
Yeah.
That's a lot to ask to come back at a super high level.
Super high level, and I mean, not only do you have to physically be healed and mentally be healed, but the skill level. I mean, you've been out of basketball for 2 years now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a tough.
It's rough.
Tough situation.
Not impossible, but
still, you're talking about playing in the Big Ten Conference.
Yeah, and is he a starter? Or is he coming off the bench?
Oh, I imagine he'll be a starter.
I'm almost sure he's going to be a starter. Yeah,
I would think so. I don't know how he would.
It's going to be an interesting year for them. What with you could argue Gross is on the hot seat.
I think he is with all the off course stuff that's now developed. He better win a lot of ball games this year.
Plus, the AD is relatively new.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, with just a couple minutes left, we want to remind everybody that Irish Days continues today. This is the final day. The ride matinee starts again this afternoon. They have an adult tractor, pedal tractor pull, antique truck and tractor show, introduction of the Queen candidates, and the crowning of the Queen later on tonight, plus the presentation of the Citizen of the Year, and this afternoon at 4 o'clock, the big Irish Days parade. So
fair and festival season is well underway.
Fair and festival season, and we want to thank our friends here at Irish Days for allowing us to be part of the Chili Dome experience. We always have a great time when we come up here. We usually talk a little bit of Lincolnwood sports with the coaches and get to see some friends, and the volleyball tournament's about ready to get underway, and it's time for us to get the heck out of Dodge here, because they're going to start going over the Chili Dome rules here.
Well, there was a grill fired up a few moments ago, and the skillet was going. Yeah. You could start to smell some of the aromas.
Yeah, yeah, it is time. Don't forget, we have more Cardinals baseball coming up today on the new 106.9 FM and AM 1540, and a game time, I believe, is 5:15, is it, or 5:20 this afternoon on AM 1540 and the 106.9 FM. That's going to do it for Irish Days for Sports Saturday from the Chili Dome at Irish Days. We want to thank Matt Milberg and Jim Whalen, our guests today. For Dave Jenkins, for Tim Mize, I'm Terry Toad. Have a great sporting weekend, and for some of you, I'll see you tonight at the Montgomery County Cancer Association birthday party. Looking forward to that this evening at the KC Hall in Taylor Springs. So have a great day, and stay cool.